This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Vonslow, and today I kind of want to tell you about how I think running a repair shop is a lot like dating. But first, let's get a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Are you tired of searching for trained technicians? If so, let Napa Auto Tech help you build a technician with their Build a Tech program, kind of like Build-A-Bear. These three-day courses cover one of four individual topics: brakes, electrical, steering and suspension, or HVAC, through a combination of classroom lecture, hands-on, and utilizing training mock-ups. Visit NapaAutoTech.com. So the first thing is this week's been a little bit rough. My fan club broke up. The guy died. So been kind of dealing with that. The idea for the relating dating of all things to running a repair shop is Danielle's fault, my wife's fault. We're watching this, I don't even know what to call, reality show. It's loosely, as he isn't a very loose term, reality show called Love is Blind. Whatever, she likes it. I get a kick out of shaking my head and criticizing everything. Yeah, pretty much everything about it. Anyways, I'm just thinking about dating, modern dating, dating way back when. And I don't mean way back when for me. It sucks that you thought that, though. Thanks. I was thinking like when my grandparents were dating, my parents were dating, you know, what the landscape looked like. It's just thinking about it. Times change, app-based dating, virtual dating. It's broken in my mind, but it's like flat rate, right? It supercharges certain areas or attributes or focus, areas of focus, right? That's what it does. And I don't, it just kind of dawns on me like when I was kind of dating Danielle, and really before the actual dating, my initial interactions with her. She's working at the local grocery store, so you've probably heard this before. I apologize if it's a broken record, but the town we live in is maybe 1,000 people, population of 1,000, maybe. There is a grocery store and it has maybe three aisles, four aisles. And she worked in the deli / meat department. And I was recently divorced. She was pretty. And I would just banter with her, ask her absurd questions. Most of you that hang out with me know exactly what I do. That's what I did. And I guess through this whole thing, I'm kind of speaking mostly from my position as a heterosexual male. I think a lot of this can be used in any whichever direction, along with running a repair shop. But she's really pretty. The thing is most people I dated, I thought were pretty. Meeting some women during that time, or even back in college days, just out of high school, thinking about these interactions with people that, namely women for me, that were very, very confident, aware, accurately or not, that they were very pretty, very attractive, physically attractive. And it probably wasn't until after I was married that the first time that having to interact with people like that just through work, or I'd worked for a company called Krag Technologies that at the time was the largest distributor of Pico in the US. It now has evolved and become Pico USA, going to trade shows, interacting with people, and interacting with very attractive people. And then if that came up, it was kind of like, well, so what? You hit the genetic lottery. Hooray for you. I didn't hit that. I missed that. I did not hit the genetic lottery when it came to physical attractiveness. I don't think. I sure as hell never look in the mirror and think that. So any of you that do that, I'm a little envious of you. But the reality is there's a lot of pretty people around. There's a lot of really attractive people around. So then it becomes, so what? What makes you so special? Why should I invest my most valuable resource, my most valuable asset, my time, in you? And that could be, goes for friendship even. But somebody looks really good on the outside. What's going to separate you from everybody else? What's going to separate you from the other pretty people? And what if we turn the question on me? Well, what makes you so freaking special? Let's address just the looks part. You might have a really nice looking shop. It might be clean. It might be well lit. It might have a terrific customer waiting area. It might be the parking lot well lit, so customers feel more comfortable dropping cars off and picking them up at after hours or in the dark. So what? These are all important things. Don't get me wrong. The shop I work at, Riverside, we've invested a lot of time and money in improving those areas. But at the end of the day, shop B down the street that doesn't have the nice big waiting area with coffee, Keurigs, soft drinks, snacks, healthy snacks, unhealthy snacks, couches, places to work, kid-friendly area. Maybe they don't have any of that, but they do a way better job of fixing cars. They do a way better job of earning people's trust. But then all this other stuff doesn't mean a thing. It starts to fall apart. The shop starts to get people that come once or twice, and then maybe we're off-putting, potentially. I'm hopefully speaking just fictionally, I hope, but maybe we don't do such a good job of that. Then we hide behind the pretty exterior and okay, fine, the waiting areas on the interior, but you know what I mean? These visual things, maybe looks and smells and all that, that's all fine and dandy. But the real, when you get down to brass tacks, we're not where we need to be. Maybe your shop's not where it needs to be. It looks the part. It's not backing it up where it counts. It's a lot like dating. It's a lot like finding somebody that you find attractive, just working up maybe that 20 seconds of insane courage. I stole that line, by the way. Just to go up and ask, go up and start a conversation. But then you have to look past all of it. And now what if that line of questioning turns on me? Okay, you did not hit the genetic lottery. What makes you worth my time? And there I have problems, right? One, me, I would start making up very ridiculous claims, either just completely absurd, worthless things. Like I have a knack for repairing disposable lighters or something like that. Just make them go, what? That's how I respond. But the reality is I think I would rather you ask other people about me, assuming you're not going to get to know me. I think it's more important what other people say about me, because I can, what am I going to do? Like just rattle off a bunch of really positive things about me. I'm loving and caring and I try to do the right thing and I treat you like a queen and blah, blah, blah. Okay. I mean, says every guy trying to score time or perpetuate a relationship of some sort. And that's what we do. That's what the shop does, right? We're rattling off equipment we have, the capability we have. Look at the shop. Look how pretty it is. If we'd pay this much attention to the shop, imagine how much attention we pay your car. But really, it's the reviews, the good reviews. And I understand, like, at some point, the 5-star reviews, people just start getting numb to that. They start looking at the 1-star reviews. And is there consistency with those 1-star reviews? My 1-star review is probably sarcasm. If you can't handle sarcasm, you're probably not going to be able to handle being around me for very long. Or feeble attempts at smart remarks, something like that. Or lots of movie references. That probably happens. I think it's what other people say. It's important to try to accrue reviews. People saying good things about you. Hopefully even speaking very specifically and calling people by name within the shop. I'm not saying like you reward them in some way, kind of just almost bribery. I'm not saying that, but you can make it easier for people to leave a review, right? There's many different types of programs out there. Some of our shop management systems already have it that make it easier for people to leave reviews. And then we do have to demonstrate over time that we can back it up. So yeah, this big pretty exterior is backed up by a bunch of people who care. They care about you. They care about your car. They care about their jobs, their careers, their professions. And that over time starts building up a number of positive reviews. The negative reviews can be very good learning moments for the shop where you got to maybe have to eat some crow. Yeah, we dropped the ball on this one. Or our processes failed, or lack of processes reared its ugly head. How you respond to the negative reviews is extremely important. A lot of people, that's what sells them on bringing their car to your shop, is a good amount of five-star reviews. But, you know, I think eventually they just start to run together. You read so many five-star reviews, it starts to just get homogenized. And hopefully you have very, very few negative reviews, so they're easier to read all of them, because you have hundreds of positive reviews, good reviews, and it's hopefully single digit, even if it's not double digit, 10, 20 bad reviews. You can whip through those. They're easier to get through all those than the hundreds of five-star reviews. How you respond to those can be what pushes people over that hump to select you to take care of them, to help them. And there's a certain honor in that that should be somewhat touching. Just if somebody agrees to go out on a date with you, it should almost be a little touching. Wow, cool. It might blow up dating-wise. Hopefully stuff with the customers don't. For 98 years, the NAPA name has meant quality parts and service. It also reflects top quality training programs to help you build a more successful vehicle repair business. No doubt, the technician shortage is impacting everyone, but you're not facing this battle alone. NAPA has the solution by making NAPA Auto Tech training available near you. NAPA Auto Tech provides automotive aftermarket technicians career development opportunities through structured, disciplined, measured, and high-quality technical instruction, no matter the technician or service advisor skill level. This instruction enhances understanding of vehicle systems, increases first-time repair capability, and overall customer satisfaction. It also prepares technicians to become ASE certified. It's a fact, technicians who receive training to improve their knowledge and skills have a higher sense of job satisfaction. This reduces technician turnover and increases productivity, directly improving a shop's profitability. It is vital to the success of a shop's business that today's technicians are equipped to diagnose and repair today's complex vehicles. With our ever-changing technology, the technician's knowledge and skills need to be updated and refreshed on a regular basis. As you labor over the decision of whether to send your techs to get their skills sharpened, keep in mind, NAPA Auto Tech training is an investment, not an expense, and it's available to all. Much of NAPA Auto Tech's training is offered in more than one format to accommodate varieties of learning styles and training preferences so each person can maximize their learning. Whether you're more of a hands-on person or enjoy learning at your own pace, NAPA Auto Tech is here to provide you with the training you need in the format that works best for you. To learn more about what NAPA Auto Tech offers, contact NapaAutoTech.com. I couldn't get over the thought of this person is really attractive, but at some point, so what? It's not going to sustain a relationship over time. And that's what we have with our customers, our relationships. And we hope they're long-term relationships and mutually beneficial financially to us, gaining trust and loyalty and vice versa, that they're gaining some financial benefit by saving money over the long term because of properly maintained and repaired vehicle is for the most part overwhelmingly less expensive than a new vehicle. I think also from like the consumer perspective, because right, running a business isn't just dealing with consumers. We also have employees. But again, back to this consumer point of view, training, constant training. I know I'm bouncing back and forth between dating and customer interaction, but in a way it's kind of the same. The whole point of the episode, that this person, that prospective date, asking some good points about you. One of them might be that you're constantly evolving. You're curious about the world. You're curious about whatever subject, passionate about music, passionate about movies, video games, outdoors, conservation. Just the list goes on. And you do a lot of studying and maybe you tell them a story about how you used to think this way, but you read these articles or you went to this course or you did this, met this person and really changed your way of thinking. I think that's a good sales point to anybody, is you're constantly evolving, constantly improving. And if we're telling that to our clients, repair shop, from the repair shop perspective, and as a technician, or any individual within the organization, it's important to me to be good at my job. It's important to me to constantly evolve and constantly try to stay up to date with changing technology. Therefore, I spend at least 40 hours a year in some sort of training course, or 80 hours or 90 hours or whatever the number is. And I spend some time, my own personal time, researching. Maybe I bought these books. Maybe I have found some actually decent YouTube channels. And so I invest my own personal time in becoming better and better and better. That I think that's a really good sales pitch to a client. The reality is as pretty as the shop is, as nice as the waiting room is, if they've been to the shop 100 times, it just doesn't hit them the same way anymore. It's normal. They like it. They like to look at it. They feel comfortable in it, but it's lost a lot of the sizzle. It's lost a lot of that just awe. They're not awestruck by it anymore. So they need more. And I think one of those is demonstrating that we're constantly, as individuals and as a business, looking to improve, always evolving, constant improvement. Like the core value of everyone working there and the leaders, especially the leaders of the business, constant improvement, always looking to be better, better customer service, better value, better employers, always. And the dating thing, this analogy doesn't just hold with customers. It's also employees or potential employees. As a technician looking to get this job, I have all these credentials. I have this big toolbox full of tools. I've been doing this a long time. Those are really attractive. But we can't really know what you're like until you've been working there at the shop a while, interacting with people. Because there's a honeymoon period, right? You get to look at your resume, got a good vibe with you, with the interview, and now you're working there. Everybody put on a pretty face. Everybody showed the best of themselves. And now, after a few weeks, a month, you can start seeing all the flaws. Yeah. He smelled really good on our dates, but I never really smelled him without all that cologne, the same cologne my dad wore, or perfume, or she looked really pretty on all our dates with all that makeup. Now she doesn't have any on. Is she still so pretty to me anymore? You've been working at the shop for 3 months. They're starting to see chinks in the armor. Some shops have more than others. Some people have more than others. How many of us are working on those chinks? How are we working on these flaws in both sides? The shop, coworkers, you as a prospective, not even prospective, like a new employee, an old employee, been there forever. What's going to make this or help perpetuate a long-term relationship that's mutually beneficial to everybody involved? So what? You got all these credentials. It's great. It's kind of why we decided to go with you. But now the other things matter. Is that saying don't keep up with continued accreditation? Absolutely not. That's just another thing to keep showing that a willingness to evolve, a willingness to keep abreast of the newest things, to see where you stand amongst your peers. Where do you rate against this threshold in training? Constantly looking to improve. These are all very important things to perpetuate a long-term relationship. You also have to get along. And how do we deal with conflict? That's starting to get into more relationship stuff and not so much dating. But the dating part is where you're kind of the big sales pitch. Why invest this time? Why look at monogamy with this person? It's the same with a shop hiring somebody. And as the shop, like, what are we doing to perpetuate this long-term relationship? What are we doing to attract talent? What's the perfume for us? What's the cologne for us? What's the makeup for us to show off? Why would you want to work here? Why would you want to interview here? Why would you want to submit your resume? And people aren't dumb, at least not all of them. The pretty shop, that's a good start. There's other pretty shops. I don't need a really, really pretty shop. That's not to say not to have a really nice looking shop, but there's got to be more. Because so what? You get them through the door, they submit the resume, maybe you hire them, and then it falls apart. It's got to be more. I hope you kind of see where I was going with that. And I hope you got a kick out of it. And I hope it also motivates, whether you're in management, whatever your place is on the cog of the gear that turns to help make that business go, that it's makes you step back and think a little bit about what am I doing to one, attract? What is attracting me? What am I doing to attract? And then in the back of your mind, where's the so what? What's the more? What's the separation? What separates us from everybody else, or at least our nearby competition? And what can we do to separate ourselves from the pack and make our shop or ourselves that much more attractive and perpetuate long-term relationships, cultivate solid long-term relationships? Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all the emails. I got a lot of messages and emails about why techs don't go to training with a lot of perspectives. And you know what? The main theme is a lot of people have no idea why. I think one issue is that most of you that are listening are continually training, continually looking to improve. I don't know how we get this message out to others, short of just expanding our local networks, interacting with other shops, interacting with other techs, becoming, I suppose, friends, of course, but also just maybe when you're helping them out of a jam and they're asking you, like, how did you know that you put training over? Maybe not so much yourself, but training. Like, I learned this in a class. And it could be scary, right? Because now you might be helping your competition get better. It's a scary thing. I don't know how much that really would happen, but I guess I would welcome the challenge. So yeah, I think the best way to spread the word is about training and get more going to training, because I don't have the real numbers, but I think in the past, Vision would have maybe 2,000 attendees. Sounds like a lot. And when you're there, it's a lot. People everywhere. Trade shows stuffed. But then you start thinking about it. That's 40 techs per state. That ain't that much. And we did have somebody from Hawaii at Vision. That was pretty cool. Paid for it himself. He won the hearts of a lot of shop owners there, who one for sure took him out to dinner just because it's attaboy. That was impressive. So yeah, so many people going to these events that we need either more events or spread them out. I think it helps the profession across the board. But I really appreciate the messages and the emails. Also, concern from my dad. I just nothing but really good news. Active, up and out and about. So thank you for those continued thoughts. It's so humbling. It's hard to talk about how much it means to me. Yeah. Thank you so much to Napa Tech Training for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network for letting me do this. So until next time, please take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.